Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
From the sky we look so organized and brave. Walls and makeup, barricades and graves. That is a little empire built by hand and built by slaves. From the sky we look so organized and brave.
Low budget live. Not so live. Thursday, October 25th. A little Jason Isbell from his new record, live from the Ryman. Perfect segue to talk a little bit about this weekend. My wife is she bought me tickets to go see Mr. Isbell at the Ryman this weekend. So if you don't listen to Jason Isbell, which I've been listening to Jason Isbell for a very, very long time, since back in the drive-by trucker days, and then the early solo stuff, and now the Jason Isbell in the 400-unit days, and proud of that dude. He's done well. I'm sure a lot of you out there like you some Jason Isbell, so go check out that new record if you can't go to the Ryman. He's doing... He started Monday night doing this run of shows at the Ryman Auditorium, and they go all week, every night. It's pretty dang impressive. All right, a rainy, cold October 25th. It's like winter is coming. Winter is coming, indeed. I came home from Texas, and man, starting to look like fall, early winter around here. Lots of leaves falling, lots of leaves changing colors, and kind of came out of nowhere. It was hot when I left. So speaking of Texas, when we last left off last week, we did Low Budget Live from down there at Sam Rayburn. The night before we really got ripping and raring with the Sealy Outdoors Big Bass Splash down there. And yeah, you know, there was a lot of trash talk going on between me and Watson and Castledine and Josh Douglas, Keith Combs, Polly Lice was there. Zell Rowland, Andy Young, Jeff Sprague, some really good guys. We had a really good time. And the first day I catch me one that weighs 442. That doesn't sound like a very big fish, but the first day was the biggest one out of all the pros. 10 of us out there slinging on Sam Rayburn. And I snatched me up a 442 on my good old 6 cents 80X. And I led that day. I won my hour. I weighed him in the 9 to 10 hour. I won $500 cool dollars for that hour. And I led that day. Nobody caught a bigger one. Nobody got close. Fast forward to day two. It's tough. Winds blowing. Big water, big waves. Insanity. Absolute insanity. And didn't get many bites. Nobody did. 12:30 hour rolls around and I'm still leading. Still leading. For 10 grand. And a really cool trophy. And bragging rights amongst your buddies, you know, that are there. In the last hour, Keith Combs, Mr. Sam Rayburn, weighs a 4 46 to win 10 grand for the second year in a row. Let me repeat. 4.46. Two hundredths of an ounce. I don't even know if that classifies as a drop of water. No clue. I have no clue if that even classifies as a drop of water. It may be less. But either way, it sucked, let me tell you. So instead, I get $500, and that's it. No 10K. Drive my tired butt home. And now, if you can hear me sniffling and snuffling, woke up Monday morning in Arkansas, about halfway home, sicker than a dang dog. So we're low budgeting anyways. Nose is all messed up. Got sinus crap, sore throat, you name it. We got it right here in this old body this week. But can't say enough about the freaking Seelys. Nicole and Donna and Bob, and I know I've pumped it a lot, but awesome people. And came within just a little bit of winning that dang thing. And should have won it last year. Had a fish, you know, should have beat Keith last year, honestly. I lost two good ones the second afternoon that would have beat him last year. So looking forward to going back and doing it again. Huge announcement from those guys. And we talked about it on live with James and I and Dougie, Mr. Castledine. Bob Seely made a huge announcement at his April tournament. He is going to have a $300,000 first place prize. One cast, one bass, 300 grand. Let that sink in. Where amateurs win like the pros, he's expecting 8,000 entries into it. 8,000. If you go two per boat, and I do county math, and you guys all know this, that's like 4,000 boats on the water. Rayburn's a damn big lake. That's a lot of freaking boats. A lot of freaking boats. So, unbelievable. Of course, Keith Combs won't be allowed to fish that one because he's a professional that doesn't catch little fish. So, Keith Combs, he beat me. I'm a sore loser. I don't even care. I wanted that one. I needed that one. That would have been fun to pull that off right here at the end of the year, heading into the off season. But I did get a text from John Kazi, old Kaz up at C&O Marine, and the new Black Pearl came in. The new Silver Pearl, the new 520L by Ranger Boats, is in. Waiting on some power, waiting on some Garmins, waiting on some new Vision wheels, but she's raring to go. She's raring to go and sitting up there all pretty. I posted a picture of her on Instagram. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. I'm proud of it. It's a beautiful boat. I hate to wrap the dang thing because it's so pretty. Pretty pumped about it. Pretty dang pumped about it. So out there at the Seely deal, as I said before, I had Mr. Jeff Sprague with me. And it was announced, Jeff announced while we were there, that he's going Bass Pro Tour. Following the Gary Klaus going to Bassmaster, dropping out of MLF, and JT Kenny accepting a color analyst position and dropping out, retiring from tour-level tournament fishing. Two more spots opened up. Jeff Sprague announced he's one of them, accepted the Bass Pro invitation. And the other one is one of my dear friends, Anthony Gagliardi. Gagliardi also got an invite to the Bassmaster Elite Series. And so he said, you know what, Bass, you know what, FLW? Gags is taking his business to the Bass Pro Tour. And looking forward to seeing him over there. Man, I love that dude. Good dude. Jeff Sprague's going to catch him over there too. I'm proud that a couple more FLW Tour guys got at it. And, you know, let's just be honest, got out of our way. Not going to cry about it. It's going to be an awesome year on the freaking FLW Tour with no co-anglers and lots of things coming down the pipeline. And I think that it's going to be, truly, I think it'll be, out of my 4 years, I feel like it's going to be the best year I've seen from an organization standpoint. Everything's rocking and rolling, and it's going to be good. We lost a lot of guys. Brian Thrift's coming back. Scott Martin's coming back. My guest today is coming back. We'll save that little tease. Got a little call-in guest. A big guest, I might add. But we've got some guys staying. And, you know, Corey Johnson, Chris Johnson, the Canadians, Gussie, Jeff Gustafson, they're all headed to the Elite Series. Clark Winlett, Brandon Cobb, head of the Elite Series. Matt Airey, Scott Canterbury, head of the Elite Series. We're going to miss seeing those guys around, but, you know, I ain't going to cry about it. That's for sure. Those are four-sport qualifiers every year I've been in it. So that just opened up a lot of room up there, the way I see it. No offense to those guys, but wish them the best. Hope they go over there to the Elite Series and kick everybody's teeth in. Just to be completely honest, show them what FLW's about. It's a good organization. It's a tough organization. But FLW did not take the hit that Bass took. Now that all the dust has settled and all the fields are set, Bassmaster definitely took it on the chin on this deal. And whether that was by design or not, from BPT, they certainly haymakered them, and it's going to look a lot different over there next year, and it could be a struggle. Could be a struggle for the organization. Hope not. We need them. We need them all, but going to have to make sure they play it right. That's for sure. That is for sure. So all the fields are set. It's almost the end of October. Only one more tournament coming up, and that's the Coastal Championship next week on Gunnersville. A lot of tour-level guys in that deal. And that'll wrap up the last Forestwood Cup spots. The first Forestwood Cup spots for next year will come out of the Coastal Championship. So then all that will be left is the BFL All-American, the TBF, and then the Tour qualifiers for next year's cup on Lake Hamilton. So it's almost deer season. Everything's kind of winding down. Guys are getting in lesson fishing mode. I'm fixing to get in boat rigging mode and then go back fishing. Fish with my dad since I've been home. And it was it's pretty awesome down on Pickwick right now. Big smallmouth are chomping. So I'm ready to get this new Ranger rigged out and get down there and put some time on it and hopefully catch some big smallies. Hopefully. So all the insanity is finally freaking over. I've griped about it the last few weeks, and it was good to go fish that event last week and see everybody. It's a little weird knowing that you're not going to see a guy that's a friend of yours like James Watson again. Maybe ever, because I feel like he's just going to, let's just be honest, he's just going to get better than me. You know, he's going to really assume the role as a celebrity now that he's on BPT. But it's going to be weird not seeing those guys maybe until the Classic, until we're all working together at the Bassmaster Classic Expo in March. So certainly strange, but it's all settling out now and we're ready to rock and roll. Got a couple big things coming for next year. Not going to say what one of them is yet, but I'm working on something that's a project that I'm as excited about as anything I've ever been a part of. And it's going to be really, 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 really cool. And, waiting on all the fine print details before I blast it out there, but I will tease it. And, one other sponsor deal coming down the pipeline that I'm going to announce very, very soon. Everything else is good to go. Going to be with all the same folks, all the same look next year, except for one. And everything else will remain the same. And I can't wait. Speaking of one of my sponsors, I want to do a little plug. Not too sponsor pluggy, but Six Sense Lures. I filmed with those guys when I was down at Rayburn. And they just kill it. And have some of the coolest lures out. Best color schemes, in my opinion. But they are doing a subscription box that is very much like a mystery tackle box, lucky tackle box, except it doesn't have junk in it. It's got Six Sense Lures. So go to their website and subscribe. It is freaking cool. And That's something that they announced last week that I think is pretty dang awesome. So go check that out. And while we're on sponsors, as always, Low Budget Live, Not So Live, and Low Budget Live brought to you by the fine folks at StarTron and StarBright. Couldn't do it without them. StarTron, one of the best fuel stabilizers out there, fuel additives that you can use. I've got some recently for my diesel, my Nissan diesel, Titan XD. And, of course, they have the ethanol fighter for your gas burners, your weed eaters, your bass boat engines. So ethanol sucks, period. You want to get rid of any chance of it tearing up your gear, especially if you got something that, you know, your gasoline sits in for a while, like a weed eater. You know, mine collects dust. I know that. So I want to make sure I put a dab of StarTron in there. You can get it basically everywhere now, Walmarts and Tractor Supplies. And I said Walmarts. I meant that plural, not like my grandmother used to say it. God rest her soul. Walmarts. We're going to the Walmarts. So you can get it everywhere now, Bass Pro Academy, all those good places. Carry the goods. Carry the StarTron. And also the StarBright cleaning products. You can find those anywhere and everywhere. So there we go. All right, up next, pretty jazzed about this. This next guy is pretty stinking awesome. He is somebody, you know, just a hero of mine in fishing. He's a really good guy and, big family man. And he's somebody I'm very, proud to call a friend. I've just really gotten to know over the last couple of years pretty good, and he's pretty awesome. Let's see if we can get him on the phone right now. And that's FLW Tour Pro, freaking champ of all champs, the all-time leading money winner on the FLW Tour, David Dudley.
That'd be me, man.
What's up, Bubba?
What's going on, Luke?
Man, I am I'm sitting here watching it rain in southern Tennessee and wishing I was heading with you to Mexico.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun and exciting trip. I've always said my number one bucket list in bass fishing is to accomplish and catching a double-digit fish. I've still never broken the threshold of catching a 10-pound-plus bass.
Wow.
So my personal best is 914, so anytime you head south, you got to always be thinking big bass, and to possibly have a chance to bust a double-digit bass during the World Championships, that'd be awesome.
Dude, I can't imagine that, and so – you get asked that question all the time, just like I do. What's your PB, man? What's your PB? And I've never broke 10 pounds myself. I've got a 9.3 is my biggest largemouth. And so there you go, kids out there listening. One of the greatest of all time. He hasn't caught a 10-pounder. He hasn't caught a 10-pounder. They don't grow on trees. Some of these guys online make it look easy, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Or either they're big eyeing their 10-pounders.
Yeah,
you know.
Or fishing in ponds or something.
Right. I think. I tell you the one that I'm talking about. I was actually right there next to Tommy Biffle.
Wow.
It was a tournament, and I had the bed, and I was so jacked, and I know you've done it too. So I knew it was a giant fish, right?
Yeah.
And I pitched in there, and she bit it first cast. And I was so jacked up, like, you know, I set the hook probably like Mac, you know, King Kong, and broke the line right at the tip of my rod.
Holy
shit. So she had like, whatever, you know, 20 feet, 30 feet of line, you know, swimming around. And the funny thing is, I could see where she was at in the pencil reeds, because she was still staying around the bed and like figure eight in the line in the grass. So Tommy Biffle was coming back towards me. She actually went back on the bed with my hook, sinker, line, and everything. I flipped in there and caught her, and Tommy was like 20 feet from me, 30. He goes, Dudley, he said, you luckier than the dog with two, you know. And I'll never forget that.
That's awesome, man.
My personal best gave me two chances, and I caught. And I still didn't get big fish.
Really?
23 years on professional tour, and I've only won big fish one time in 23 years.
That's awesome. That's crazy. That's a crazy stat. But you look at guys that I always think big fish are random, like really big ones. You know what I mean? I always like to think that I'm more consistent than that, and I'll take a big one. I almost won it the first day of my rookie year down there. Bradley Hallman beat me at Okeechobee in 16 by 1 ounce the first day on big bass. But that's the only time on tour in 3 years that I've even been in contention for the big fish. That was at Okeechobee too. So tell me a little bit about, I was with Watson last week, which, you know, is always interesting, but he was telling me a little bit about this Mexico deal. You guys are going down to fish in the World Championship again. And last year, this deal was in South Africa, which was an awesome trip. There's lots of video up from that if you guys want to go check it out. But tell me a little bit about Mexico and what where you guys are fishing and who all you're fishing against down there.
You know, the lake is – I really never even heard of the lake, and I can't even pronounce it. It's like Chipolero or I don't know, something
we'll
like that.
We'll call it Lake Tortilla.
Yeah, Lake – all right, so I haven't heard of this Lake Tortilla.
Okay.
So I'm kind of going down there in the blind, but – you know, it's an honor to be representing the USA, but one thing I did notice that from our trip to South Africa was when we, meaning the USA team, walked around, like, we were the it factor.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
everybody wanted to be just, you. It's like the dream team with Michael Jordan in the Olympics.
And what I mean by that is they really look at USA anglers, and I'm not just saying like me.
No, I get what you're saying.
But they really look at USA as like, you know, we're all Michael Jordans, or you know what I'm saying?
They, no doubt.
And I thought that was like if we, meaning the USA team, walked into the banquet hall. It was like every eyes were on us. Like, oh my gosh, here's the USA team. Like, you know, so it was really cool to see that of course we have many lakes, you know, to bass fish, but how many of the other countries really look up to us, you know, USA anglers as, you know, a learning, you know, places that they can go to learn or just watch, or they and we have so many opportunities on so many lakes. So that was a real eye opener to me to see the respect that they have for USA in general and the anglers.
Well, that's what I was going to say is, you know, I think it's like that when you go around the globe, other than, you know, a few countries in general that hate the United States, probably right. For one reason or another, political junk, but. You know, the U.S. is revered, in whether it's in sports or media, you know what I mean, like entertainment, music, whatever. Because we do have freedom over here, and we get to do a little bit more things than a lot of these nations do. So that's pretty cool, man, to hear that bass fishing falls right in there with all this other stuff. Well, you guys, so who all will you be competing against down there in Mexico? On Lake Tortilla.
Yeah, on Lake Tortilla. I have no idea. Like, I hear it's 23 countries that are going to be here.
Jeez.
So, I think it was 11 countries in South Africa. And to see it jump to 23 countries this time, like, that's how, you know, fast it's growing. So,
that's awesome.
Yep, we're going to have a lot of competition, and of course, they're going to be gunning for us as much as they are Lake Tortilla.
Well, so do me one favor. Make sure that James Watson doesn't end up in mixed up with like the Mexican cartel or in a Mexican jail somewhere, because I'm not bailing him out. We'll just leave him down there if that happens.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous, man. When we go out to dinner or we go, he is the life of the party.
Oh, ain't no doubt.
Sometimes the life of the party, he gets you in a party you don't want to be in. So we might have to just like do a pack and say like me and Mark Rose, we're gonna kind of be his security guards and make sure he don't get out of hand.
His security detail team.
Yeah, security detail team. That's right.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
Because you know he's going to get down there. If he don't know how to speak Spanish, you can guarantee he's going to play the role that he knows that. And he might end up talking some smack, trying to act like he knows Spanish. And he might end up, saying a sentence that he didn't mean to. And we all get robbed or mugged down there.
No doubt. Yeah, I think the best plan is just to stay away from James. Just to stay away from James all the way around.
We might have to take a 80-pound braided line and just sew his lips up for when we get into the public and then cut it back off when we're, back out there on
the
water.
That's the only prayer you got, Dudley. That's the only prayer you got.
80-pound braid might not be enough.
Get them jaws shut down. I don't think that'll even do it. Well, all right. I talked a little bit before I got you on about all this craziness, and I've been talking about it the last few podcasts because, it's definitely the craziest offseason we've ever seen. I know for me, I've been following the sport of bass fishing and then, of course, involved with it professionally for a while now, and this is the craziest offseason I've ever seen. I hope it's the craziest offseason I ever see because it's just been so nuts and people jumping ship and people moving all around and different guys going to be at different places, but you posted a video last week of your decision. So you got a Bassmaster Elite Series invite, and your decision was to stay at FLW, which I'm super pumped about that. I can't wait for next year. But so tell me a little bit. I know there are lots of factors, man, between sponsors and family. And just loyalty and different things in the sport. But what do you feel like was your main decision that made you say, I'm going to stay at FLW. I've done the Bassmaster thing before. You fished some opens recently. I know you've made the Classic. You've done that stuff. I'm just going to stay at FLW. What was the deciding factor in that?
I can agree with everything that you said right there, the three topics that you said, and probably could add a lot more. And I think the biggest, there's not like one main key, that's why I can agree with everything you said. It's not like, okay, only because of sponsors I stayed. Well, sponsors played a little bit. And then loyalty paid a little bit. And then, there's a lot of factors that I had to consider, and when I started to weigh them out, FLW is truly where I got my career started. And it was years ago, back in the days of Red Man. That's how long ago it was when it used to be called the Red Man
Trail. Me too.
And the Red Man Golden Blend tournaments. And that's where I originally started fishing. And then, of course, now they're called the BFLs. But then I went to Bass for a while. I fished the Invitationals, qualified for the, they used to be called BP Top 100, which is, it's kind of the same thing as the Elite.
Right.
Yeah. And then I fished that for a few years, fished the Classic. And then FLW is, they came in and shook up the industry.
Kind of like Bass Pro Tour just did, right? Back then, for younger guys that may not know, like FLW was that bowling ball that dropped out of the sky on a bunch of people, especially when Irwin Jacobs got involved.
Yeah, it
shook the game up.
Well, think about this game. we all know Bassmasters is like the godfather of professional tours.
That's where it started, right?
Yeah, I mean, they came out and forever ago. So we know that. And I can't take that away from them. And with Ray Scott, what he pioneered through Bassmasters, pretty much we wouldn't be where we are today without
Absolutely.
Him. But shakeups, I've always said, shakeups are good. They are. Shakeups are good. And FLW years ago, I mean, I had just won a VP Top 100, and I think I won $40,000.
Wow.
And then within 2 years, a couple years later, FLW comes out and says, hey, if you guys want to fish a true professional tour and we're going to pay you good, how does this sound? $125,000. And then we're going to add two, higher class tournaments, and we're going to pay you $250,000 of the tournament. So, you know, call it jumping ship, call it whatever. You're going to, you know, when you go from a $40,000 tournament win to a $100,000 tournament win and $250,000 tournament win, let me think hard and about that. Yeah, I know where I'm taking my career.
And then they had the Ranger M1 where you won big.
Yep. And then years later, they, you know, figured out a system and just trying new things and innovative. And that's what I love about FLW. You can't just, every time something looks, there might be a patch of green grass that is greener on the other side. But if you look at the overall lawn and you look at, you know, the whole lawn in a spectrum, is there greener grass on the other side on a little bit of here, a little bit of that? I'm not jumping ship because I might agree with one thing. If you look at the overall picture, and I look at the overall picture, what FLW has done for me, has done for you, and has done for a lot of people, FLW has pioneered and has given me a chance to make my living and pay for my bills through a game that we all love.
That's right.
Casting a line for a fish. And that's awesome.
And just FLW winning, just so in case there's some guy that lives in a cave that listens to Low Budget Live, Not So Live, that doesn't realize, you have won from FLW $3,613,409 from FLW. That for a guy that's sitting on like $90,000 in career earnings in 3 years, I just can't wrap my head around that number, man. And I know you had a couple big licks in there, but dude, that what an awesome career. But I agree with everything you say. FLW's got the BFLs that get you started. They got the Costa Series. It's a proven ground. And now they got the tour, more strict qualifying regimen going forward, going into 2020 after this season. And then, the angler spoke and they listened to no co-anglers. So, you know, next year is going to have a totally different look on tour. You were on an anglers council there. I know that was made up of a few guys, and a lot of them are no longer with us. You know, they took other opportunities, but man, I'm proud you stayed. I'm proud I'm staying. There's a lot of other good guys that are staying. Scott Martin and Brian Thrift. We're all going to have fun trying to chase them down for Angler of the Year, but I think that it can be done. It can dang sure be done, you know. If anybody can do it, you can do it, and I'll just watch and clap. I'm hoping I can do it, but somebody's going to have to pull Thrift's plug out of his boat every tournament if I'm going to do it, I think, the way last year went, you know. But dude, I think it's going to be good. That's what I've told several people. I'm really excited about FLW next year. Totally switching gears, dude. I'm seeing all over the place David Dudley YouTube sensation.
Yeah, I don't know about a sensation. That's why I got on there, rookie YouTuber.
Yeah.
And I truly
But you're
am.
Doing it, dude. You're doing it.
Hey, I'm trying to get it out there. And you know, as things evolve, like, kind of, I've been in this game a long while. And not just speaking of the fishing world, I'm just talking in general. like cable TV is going away, and you know, you're getting to all these streaming, and now you have the YouTube world is just exploding. Like, and I know for in my world that if I gotta change with the times, okay, and I gotta change with what's happening is, I know to work for my sponsors even more, that I've got to create an avenue that I can expose them more and expose who I am. Brand, you know, it's all about branding. So I have absolutely jumped into this YouTube world. I am a total rookie. I will not deny it. I'm just kind of winging it as I go, but I'm having a blast doing it.
Oh, it looks like it. And it comes across in your videos. I know you're having fun. It's a new world for you.
Yeah, it no doubt it is. I'm not your Scott Martin, you know, sensation who is on YouTube and's got a crazy amount of followers, but I started about 7 weeks ago or 8 weeks ago, and you know, I've been growing, you know, in my mind, I've been growing pretty good so far. I'm, you know, but I'm having fun. I'm going to be putting out the, you know, covering all the tournament videos. I have fun doing fishing around the house videos. I have fun doing hunting videos. We're actually going coon hunting tonight.
Yeah.
And I'm recording. I'm putting a GoPro on my dog tonight, and we're gonna video a coon hunt tonight. And we did a test run the other night, and I'm telling you right now, it is so addicting. Like literally, as the dog was running through the woods, it sounded like the Fortnite, like when you're running through on that video game, and they're like,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden you can watch what the dog does, and I put a spotlight on his top of his head. So as he's running through the woods, you're seeing, you know, a lot of what he's doing. And all
that's
of a sudden
awesome.
When that dog strikes and you hear him go off and then you see him get to the tree, it's going to make a good video. I can't wait to, you know, put one out.
Well, I actually wrote that on my list here of topics for you, but you're a coon hunting fool, man. You love it. You love it. We've talked about that. I post a picture of a daggum raccoon at my deer feeder one time here at my house, and you're like, how far are you from Douglas Lake?
Yeah.
Like, you want to take care of some raccoons.
Oh, yeah. And you know, everybody has just like you, you travel, your world, our world is fishing.
That's right.
Whether it's dealing with sponsors, business, but coon hunting to me, okay, is nothing but a deep sigh, a deep breath. And it's all it is every night I'll have my truck full of kids and, you know, adults, and we will go out, and it's just as me and you are carrying on a conversation, that's all we're doing. We're exercising, and it's just a deep breath. That's all it
is
to me. And I think that's, you know, of course, do I love listening to the dogs? Do I love, you know, when we actually get to, you know, we train them, we kill them. I like rewarding the dogs. My kids have a good time. Everybody's smiling, laughing. It's just a... Coon hunting is basically an outdoors outing that people can enjoy company. We don't have to be quiet. We don't have to be hush-hush. It's just, you know, I've had people out there in the woods before that, you know, at times when it's been me and another guy, or, you know, they've broken down, whether they're talking about family problems or, you know, whatever it is, it's just something about getting out in the woods at night, exercising, walking through the woods, and it's a deep breath for me.
That's awesome. What's the craziest thing bumping around out there in the night? So I've only been coon hunting a couple of times. I'm too scared of the dark for all that business. But what's the craziest thing you've ever came up on coon hunting?
Oh,
craziest
gosh.
Thing. You've done this for years and years and years and years.
I know. I've had them jump down on me. I've climbed up
the raccoon. You've had raccoons.
Yeah. I've climbed
knock
up
him out,
the
John.
And they've come out. They've, you know, come down the limb and got on me. But probably the worst the damage that's ever happened to me was I was training a puppy. we knocked this coon out, right?
Yeah.
He hit the ground. I thought he was dead, right? So I walk over there, and I tied the older dog's back. And so what you do is you take a coon and throw him up in the fork of a tree, and the young puppy learns how to tree. So if you don't know what treeing is, it's where the dog just continually barks at a, you know, one spot at the tree. So I took the coon and slung him up in the tree, in the fork of the tree, and he kind of kept falling down a little bit and falling down. It wasn't that good of a fork. So I slung him up, and I almost had him, but he won't balance quite right. And I took my hand up there, and I put it on his head, but little did I know that he was still alive. And my pinky went up into his mouth, and I didn't know it because it was cold that night. My hands were freezing. So I put it up there, and I was trying to balance him, and all of a sudden this sharp pain come in my finger. And the next thing, you know, of course, when you feel pain, your next reaction is to jerk, right?
Yeah. Oh,
so I felt pain, and when I jerked it out, my whole pinky just opened up like a bottle cap. I mean, split it wide, slam
open.
Oh,
my gosh.
I reckon that explains why I foam in the mouth every time I get upset, you know?
I've noticed that about you.
I've noticed that about you. It ripped my finger wide open. Needless to say, he didn't live another 30 seconds after I figured out what he'd done to me.
I bet. I can imagine. Mm-hmm. Well, so so the off season for you is going to be some deer hunting with the kids, I'm sure, and some coon hunting then. That's what off season looks like, which we got a short off season this year.
Yeah. When you say some, let me clarify what some is. Some is 30, at least 30, if not 45 hours a week I hunt.
That's awesome.
It's a full, now the cool, I do have five kids, and you got a lot of kids yourself.
I got five too. Yep.
But when I say I hunt, in the mornings, a lot of times, my kids now, I didn't have but two bows. I can't even go bow hunting because all my kids are old enough to go, and every time I wake up in the morning, they've already grabbed the bow, and they're out there in the tree stands before I even. So I haven't even hardly deer hunted this year because my kids keep stealing my bows. But the good thing about, you know, deer hunting and coon hunting, deer hunting, I'll hunt and come back right before they get to school. And then when they're back in school, I'll hunt, you know, 2 hours before they go and 2 hours after. But at night is when we get, you know, loads of kids in the truck, and we just out there. So, yeah, I hunt a minimum of 30 to 45 hours a week.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Well, dude, I appreciate you. I appreciate you calling in, and I appreciate I appreciate being buddies with David Dudley. That's what I said before this, dude. For me, I'm 35 years old, and David Dudley's always been one of those guys I've looked up to in fishing, and getting to know you over the last couple of years has been awesome, man. And looking forward to even more fun this year on tour. And tell everybody where they can all your social media stuff and your YouTube channel. Tell them where they can find that stuff.
Yeah, well, my YouTube channel is my name, just David Dudley, and my Instagram is David Dudley Fish, and of course, Facebook is, David Dudley. So,
all right.
But I have enjoyed the last few years, and I know a lot of people are getting to know you just as much as me in this fishing world. And one great thing about Luke, and as all you listeners know, it's always entertaining and fun. When you can get around somebody, and we can all agree on this, every time you get around Luke, it's just like you can't help it, but a smile just grows on your face. And
man, can you tell my wife that?
It's like you gravitate towards anybody who can bring joy in your life. So,
well,
yeah,
I appreciate that.
It has
dude.
Been an awesome couple years getting to know you, and I'm sure we got a lot more
heck yeah,
years
we
to
do.
Enjoy each other. So.
Heck yeah, buddy. Well, you go go win one for USA down there in Mexico, and you guys be safe down there.
All right, yeah, I'm going to try to find some unbottled water when I get there.
No
First
doubt.
Thing I'm going to do, just where's a river or a creek? I'm thirsty. I want to go drink some water.
Just roll the dice right out of the giddy.
Right, yeah, just go in there and find some good bacteria, float in some water somewhere, and just drink it up.
Oh, my goodness. All right, Bubba. Well, you be safe. You be safe heading down there and take you some Imodium with you just in case you find that bacteria.
I know.
And we're going to talk after you get back from Mexico. We're going to do another Low Budget Live. I got to hear this.
All right, buddy.
All right, dude. All right, see you, Dudley. All right. The man, the myth, the Dudley. Right there. That's my dude. David Dudley's a good one. If you don't go follow him, go follow all of his social media handles, his YouTube, and good dang dude, incredible fisherman, and awesome ambassador for the sport. All right, question time. So I threw it out there on Instagram, like to end every show with a few questions, and I got some good ones. I got some I can say online. I got some that I can't. So I always get some interesting ones. Brad Knight sent me some good ones this week. But gonna jump on a fishing question. So D&D Farms, Dustin on Instagram, at D&D Farms, wanted to know what equipment for throwing small swim baits, rods, and actions. Well, I'm assuming he's talking about, you know, a little 4-inch zoom swimmer or some of the smaller Kitex style, probably, 3.3s, 3.8s, 2.8s. If I go to like a little small Kitex, which is like a grub on a little ball head, I throw that on a spinning rod. I throw it on an Eagle Claw drop shot rod, little fast tip on there, and like 8-pound fluoro, 6-pound fluoro if it's super clear. And then when I step up into those 3.3s and 3.8s, I'll actually throw them. Eagle Claw has a rod in the Skeet Reach Double Trigger called the Finesse Worm. And it's almost like a medium light or a medium action, It's a little 7-footer. And I'll spool that thing up depending anywhere from 8-pound line to 12-pound line. I want as big a line as I can get away with on those things. But, depending on where we're at, the conditions, the water color, the kind of day, if it's a bright bluebird day, in gin clear water, I'm going to go the lighter I can get away with. But I like that real fast tip because those fish get that bait. They just load up on it. And you're using a light wire hook a lot of times, light wire little swim bait head, like a little ball head. Eagle Claw's making a Trocar tungsten ball head now, little lightweight Pro-V hook in it. And they got it, Once they get it, you don't have to drop the hammer on them. They got it. And it'll be in there good. So that's my setup on that, Dustin. Thank you so much for the question. Ethan Martin had another question. What is the best fall lure? I'm going to drop a broad one on you, Ethan. But for me and my style, it's always a topwater. Whether that's a 6-cent Dogma, a 6-cent Mag Dog, or like a Whopper Plopper or a Buzz Bait. One of those is always in my hand. I change sizes depending on the bait fish that the fish are feeding on. So that old cliche saying, match the hatch. I certainly do that a lot. Match the hatch. That's important. And I'll change my size topwaters. I'll change, based on the day, based on the conditions, based on the lake. But something along those lines is generally what I'm using. Thank you for your question, sir. Thank you so much. And the last one is a very interesting one. So it's been the Bassmaster Classic Bracket Week over at Carter's Lake. Final three Bassmaster Classic spots will be given out over there. It's supposed to be a 16-man field. And Greg Hackney didn't show up. So it was only 15 guys to start with. And I know Greg pretty well. And I thought that was odd. And I heard that he just basically said he wasn't going. And I don't know what's going on between anglers and bass. I don't. They didn't show till they had 15 guys. And, you know, I don't know what he's got going on or what they got going on, but that kind of sucked. You know, one of the biggest names in the sport didn't fish. So whatever's going on one way or the other, some fans got to miss out on seeing Hackney fish live on that lake where they're catching like 4 a piece. It's brutal. It is brutally tough. Clearwater spotted bass lake over there outside of Atlanta, north of Atlanta, up in the mountains. But LJ, Georgia, I believe. But, yeah, I don't know. That was from KC Tellis. Wanted to know if he, you know, if Hackney just snubbed it. I'm not sure. I can't speak for Greg. You know, maybe had another engagement and just decided to just say the heck with it. He wasn't going to go. I don't know. Because he's going BPT, everything's changing. He wasn't worried about it. I'm not sure. I know for me, it was like when the Randy Haynes thing shook out and guys, you know, Randy quit during the final day there, third day at Kentucky Lake. You know, we all have a responsibility to our sponsors, pay us money, and to our fans that want to see us out there. And I'm sure if Greg, if there was any way he could have been there, you know, I'm sure he had something come up because Greg lives to compete. And the Classic is one of the biggest tournaments out there. So not sure what's going on with that, KC. And then he had it was a two-part question, and I can't really answer this one either because I don't know the details. But he's asking, will Bassmaster allow the winner of the 2019 Classic to return and fish the Classic in 2020? Because, you know, you get an automatic bid. But what if the winner of that is someone from the Bass Pro Tour? What if? What if Kevin Van Dam wins and he's left for the, you know, the BPT? What if Skeet Reese wins? He's already left for the BPT. Iaconelli. Who knows? I know the first day of the coverage over there at Carter's Lake, when they had 15 guys before it broke into the bracket style, they dang sure didn't feature many BPT guys. It was all the guys coming back. And you know what? I don't blame them. They get to pick what they air. But now they've been giving those guys love in the bracket rounds that are leaving. Skeet Reese, Mike McClellan, some of those guys. But very interesting. Very interesting. And they've had some color commentary guys. Matt Herron and Kelly J doing some commentary. So different cast of characters at Bassmaster. And a few more coming for 2019 from the FLW Tour. So we'll see how all this crap shakes out. As always, I appreciate you for listening. Go support the people that support the industry, like Star Bright, Star Tron, Sixth Sense, TH Marine, Eagle Claw Fishing. Go give those people Ranger Boats. Go check those people out. You know, we couldn't be out here. If you like this at all, you know, make sure you support the folks that support the people you like. And I greatly appreciate it. Slowly but surely, we're growing. Low Budget Live, not so live. We're going to keep them rocking. May go live next week. I'll have an update on whether or not it'll be a not so live or a live next week with somebody. I got an angler wanting to come on and do a live to make an announcement. To make an announcement. So we shall, it's a good friend of mine. So we shall see. Until next week, take it easy. Listen to some dang good music and take care of each other out there. Winter is coming. And it's cold. If you're going deer hunting this weekend, kill a deer. You're just sitting around watching football, drink a beer. Hey, I rhymed. See you next week. Thank you. From the sky, the highway, straight as it could be. A straight pulled tight from home to Tennessee.
just took the better part of me from the sky highway straight as it could be.
Spend your Saturdays with Life on the Water. Join Captain Brandon Simmons for fishing, diving, travel, and so much more.
You want to succeed. You want to fish. You want to be one of the greatest.
Oh, look at that thing, dude. Wow. Oh. Let's see what kind of trouble we can get into today.
Don't miss Life on the Water every Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. The destination for outdoor entertainment.
You go out there and the fish are where you think they are, any one of these casts could be the bite. It's the most exciting fishing that I know right here at Hawks Cave.
Oh, that's awesome.
Experience the best saltwater fishing the world has to offer. Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.